May we be helped to commence our evening service of worship by singing together hymn 1134. Hymn 1134 to the tune Purley, 721. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee, lead us to Christ, our only rest, and in his love may we be blessed, while in his name we meet. Let precious drops of heavenly dew our courage and our strength renew, and make the promise sweet. Hymn 1134, tune Purley, 721.
This evening from God's holy word in the gospel according to John and chapter 16. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and teach us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, do help us now to bow before thee in prayer. Do grant unto each one of us a spirit of real prayer in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to pour out our hearts. Help us to rightly value the privilege of prayer, and the privilege of meeting in thy house, with thy word before us each. O Lord, it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come in and abide with us, as thou hast promised to be with the two and three gathered together in thy name. Lord, we do pray that we might be gathered together in thy name, and that we might feel thy presence with us. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not to formality, an empty service. Lord, we do pray that there might be a desire in each of our hearts to worship thee. Lord, may we enter into thy gates with thanksgiving, into thy courts with praise. Thank thee for all thy many mercies to us. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, many needs supplied day by day. We do pray, Lord, that we Might not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness. Lord, we pray that we might ever remember thy many benefits towards us and how little we deserve. Lord, we do pray that we might bear before thee those who have less than we do. Lord, as we are freely able to meet together in thy house, we pray for those who are not able to do so for whatever reason. As we have thy word faithfully before us, Lord, we pray for those who do not enjoy this privilege that we do. Lord, we do pray that we might be found in thy spirit. Lord, that we might know and be given a heart to worship thee. Lord, we thank thee above all for the glories of the gospel, the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus, who came into this world to save sinners and the chief of sinners. Lord, we do pray that each one of us might be able to praise thee for thy wonderful works, that one strange work that exceeds them all. Lord, we pray that we might know these things for ourselves. We pray, Lord, that we might be taught of thee, that we might each have a hunger and thirst after thee, Lord, that we might have that desire in our hearts as we come to thy house and throughout the week. Let me see thy face. Let me hear thy voice. We pray for those not able to be with us, those looking after little ones, to remember them where they are. We pray thy blessing upon the little ones, to watch over them and help them. We pray that they might be given health and strength and good development. Lord, that they might be helped in their life at home and their education. Lord, that they might be kept of thee. That they might be taught of thee while they are young. They might bear the yoke in their youth. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst keep them from the many evils of this present day. We pray also for the young people, Lord, do watch over them and keep them. Guide and direct all their steps. Lord, we do pray that there might be that looking unto Jesus in all things. Lord, keep us from the mighty enemies without and the much mightier enemies within. Lord, we do pray for each one, those in the midst of life and those in older years. Lord, thou knowest the needs that we each have. We do pray, Lord, that we might be found waiting upon thee, trusting in thee at all times for all that we need. Lord, do lead us forth by the right way. Do lead us each, whatever our age, in that narrow way which leads unto heaven. Lord, of which there are few that find it, we do pray that each one of us might be among the few. We pray that each one of us might be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Leave us not to envy sinners and the things of this world. Lord, lift us above earthly things and draw us after thee. Great Oi, blessing in this house of prayer, we ask thy blessing upon the service here this morning. Lord, we do pray that thy worship here week by week might be in the power of the Holy Spirit. There might be a witness to thy work continuing here in this place. Lord, we pray that thy Spirit might be poured out, that the wilderness might be as a fruitful field. Lord, we do pray that there might be a building up, may there be those gathered in, or brought back, or those, Lord, who may have never set foot in thy house before, who were brought to seek after thee. Lord, we pray for each gathering of thy people this day, in this country, and throughout the whole earth. We pray that there might be a joyful noise made unto the Lord God of Israel. We pray that there might be that witness throughout the whole earth that there is a God in heaven. We pray, Lord, that thy people might be established, that thy people might be kept. Lord, that there might be that building up of the walls of Jerusalem, sending out of more labourers into the harvest. Lord, we do pray that there might be times of revival once more in our countries and in the churches and in our own hearts. Lord, turn us again and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. To help each of thy servants preaching this evening, to strengthen them and help them, and bless thy word through them. Lord, we do pray that thy name might be magnified, that thy people might be fed. We pray for our country with all the evil and confusion and trouble that there is, and things seeming to get worse and worse. We pray, Lord, that there might be a turning to thee. We pray for wisdom for those in authority. We pray for our King and our Prime Minister and the Cabinet and Government to, Lord, give wisdom to know what to do. We pray that there might be those who made wise unto salvation who could testify of it. Lord, we pray that there might be a return to honesty and morality and decency in our land. Lord, we think of the international situation with many in great need, many displaced in warfare and conflicts and troubles and poverty. Lord, we do pray that these things might have a voice to us and to them, and that even these great sorrows and troubles might be used of thee for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, we thank thee for that truth that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So Lord, we do pray that thou wilt have mercy upon us. Remember us here as we meet together, a few poor sinners around thy word. Lord, we do pray that it might be a living word to us. We pray that it might come into our hearts in the Holy Spirit, in the power of it, and the unction, Lord, of thy Spirit. Lord, we pray that there might be that which will enter in and do us good. Lord, do keep us from grieving thee in our worship. Lord, do grant that we might be lifted above earthly things for a while. Lord, who take of the things of Jesus, reveal them to us. Thou, Lord, do help us each, keep us from grieving thee. Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Forgive all of our sins and our poor prayers. Make up for where we fail. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Marcus Funnell next Lord's Day evening, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be, God willing, observed during the evening service. And as helped, there will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service. Friday evening is our monthly prayer meeting, and a church meeting is arranged, God willing, for 6:30 p.m. Wednesday the 15th of November. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 765, hymn 765, June Jackson's 163. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands a sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. These pinings prove the Christ is near, to testify his grace. Call on him with unceasing prayer, for he will show his face. Hymn 765, June Jackson's 163.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for his help. I would ask you to turn to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These are the words of comfort that the Lord Jesus himself speaks to his disciples. Really the last words that he speaks to them before he prays unto his Father, before he appears before Caiaphas, before his suffering and death. The words of comfort that the Lord Jesus speaks unto them, of how these things would happen. Those things that he had told them of before. That time when he would leave them as he laid down his life for them. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. At first the disciples could not understand. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And we can well imagine the sorrow that filled the hearts of the disciples, their Lord and Master who had been with them for that time, who they had walked so closely with and who they had seen the many wonderful works of. And now he was going away. Now they would be left without him. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. There was coming a time of sadness, a time of emptiness, a time of mourning, but there would be better days ahead. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Lord Jesus says, I came from the Father. When he came into this world as a baby at Bethlehem, I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He was born that he might die. He came into this world that he might leave it, having swallowed up death in victory. The Father sent the Son to die. Jesus, who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. I leave the world and go to the Father. So the Lord Jesus says, this hour is now come, when I am going to the Father, when I shall suffer these things and lay down my life. The hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall give me scattered, every man to his own. You know, it's sad, it's solemn to think of it. These wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, these words of loving comfort that he speaks to his disciples. And yet the Lord Jesus knew what was to take place as they all forsook him and fled. As they all fled and left the Lord Jesus in his time of great need. Ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, though he would be forsaken by his disciples. Yet, he says this, the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you. You know, these are words of comfort, but you know, the fact that the Lord Jesus speaks to his people is a wonderful mercy. I wonder if we appreciate it as we should. Has the Lord spoken unto you? When did the Lord last speak unto you? These things I have spoken unto you. The Lord speaks through his word. He speaks through the preaching of his word. He speaks to his people. And are we listening for his voice? Do we desire to hear him speak to us? That hymn, the Young People's Hymn Book, it was written by, I think, my wife's great-grandma. The end of each verse says, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Thou sayest, thy sheep do hear thy voice. Am I a sheep, Lord, of thy choice? Speak then and bid my heart rejoice. Oh, speak to me. By nature our ears are closed. By nature we don't want to hear the Lord speaking. I think of the verse at the beginning of Isaiah's prophecy. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And so he has. So he does. How easily our ears are closed, our hearts are hardened. You know, I didn't speak from it this afternoon or this morning, but we read in Psalm, I think it's Psalm 95, where we have these words, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Those words quoted in Hebrews, as it is said in David, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear, harden not your hearts. Left to ourselves, our hearts are hardened to the voice of God. Harden not your hearts. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Two things here. Firstly, peace is to be found in him and nowhere else. Very clear here in the Word of God that when it tells us that in me, in Christ, peace is to be found, that nowhere else is true peace to be found. Out of Christ, there is no peace. In me ye might have peace. And then it comes from that one who is the Prince of Peace. That is where this peace flows from. That one who is peace and who gives peace to his people. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. If you turn back one chapter 15, and if you read through this chapter, how many times you find just these two words, in me, it speaks of the vine and the branches. It speaks of the heavenly vine, abide in me and I in you. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. In me ye shall have peace. But without me ye can do nothing. Without me there is no peace. You think of what a precious thing peace is. You can think of it in various senses. You think of it with the warfares at this present time. How there are those that are longing for peace. But you know, true peace is only found in me, in the Lord Jesus himself. As it flows from him, as it flows from the vine into the branches, his church, his people. Without me, ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So, right through this chapter, we have the love of Christ to his church. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The great love of the Lord Jesus in laying down his life for his friends, in choosing a people loved with an everlasting love. And those who are chosen, they are ordained to go and bring forth much fruit. They are to go forth into the world. They are to bear witness before the world to the love of God. To bear witness by showing forth his praises, by bearing fruit in their lives, by bearing witness to the one true God, by honouring and glorifying his name. So, at the end of that chapter, ye shall bear witness. These disciples were to bear witness of the Lord, and so the branch, the church of God throughout all ages, has a witness. Ye are the branches in me, ye might have peace in me and nowhere else. Coming from that one who we are told in Isaiah, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The one who came as peace itself. You think of it, and I've heard it said that no one on this earth lived a life that was with more to disturb them than the Lord Jesus. And yet no one was less disturbed by the troubles that they came into, and what troubles that he endured that we cannot comprehend. And yet the Prince of Peace, undisturbed, how he walked out that perfect life, and how these blessings that that are spoken of in the Word of God flow from him through thee, branches to the vine, to the people of God. In thee ye might have peace. There is that fullness of peace, that fullness of grace, that fullness of every good thing in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need. In me ye shall have peace. That one who made peace by the blood of the cross, that one who laid down his life and what he endured that he might bring that peace. What sorrow and horrors and sufferings and agonies filled his heart. You know, I say this reverently, there was no peace for the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he, being in agony, sweat as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. No peace there. But there he, as he then went on to the cross at Calvary, laid down his life. Having lived that perfect, spotless life, he procured peace. His death, says the hymn writer, procured thy peace. In me, ye that might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You know what a contrast. In me ye might have peace. But you know, the life and walk of a child of God is not always peace. The Lord, in greater or lesser measure, does bring that peace by the blood of his cross, peace upon their conscience in his measure, in his sovereign way. But at many times in the experience, the life and walk of the Lord's people, it seems to be everything but peace. It seems to be this word we have here, tribulation, trials, the distresses, the perplexities, things that are hard to be understood, things that weigh us down and cast us down. But we are not to be surprised by these things. The Word of God here tells us to expect them. In the world ye shall have tribulation. In our lives here on this earth, that is what we are to expect. Tribulations more or less that we shall have to endure. And in different measures for each child of God, in different ways. What's a tribulation to one may not be to another. And the purposes behind the tribulations that we have may be different in one to another. They all come from the good hand of God, who makes no mistakes. And as the child of God walks through these things, they walk a little in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus himself. As he himself suffered tribulation, as he himself suffered sorrow, and he walked through dark times here on this earth. In the world ye shall have tribulation. These things are certain. These things are not to take us by surprise, painful though they may be. That ye shall have them, they shall come. There will be those times of storm, those tempests that come, My mind goes to that psalm where we have the description of the people of God and their lives and the ups and downs that they have at different times in their lives. Psalm 107. He commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Perhaps that's one of you this evening. Melted because of trouble. Reeling to and fro, staggering like a drunken man. And at their wits' end, what do they do? What should you and I do at such a time as this? And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. But there we have, through that psalm, the ups and the downs, if we could use that expression, of the people of God. They brought down their heart with labour, they fell down, there was none to help, in darkness and the shadow of death. But they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them. And at last it's this, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven in the world. That ye shall have tribulation. And sometimes, why through darks and paths we go, we may know no reason. But we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. And in all these things there is a divine purpose. You shall have tribulation. These things are not sent to the child of God in anger. They are sent in love. To his church, his joy and treasure. Every trial works for good. You know, it's one thing for me to stand here and say it. It's another thing for you and I to walk it out in our lives. To really be able to say, every trial works for good. They are dealt in weight and measure. Yet how little understood. Not in anger. Not in anger. But through his dear covenant love, ye shall have tribulation. And my other thought concerning these tribulations, we have those words in the end of Romans chapter 8, concerning all these spots and places that the Lord's people come into. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, who shall? It's a question. What's the answer? Shall tribulation? There it is. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Shall they? Nay, in all these things. All these things. You say, what? The tribulations? Yes. The distresses? Yes. The persecutions? Yes. The famines? Yes. Nakedness? Yes. Peril? Yes. Sword? Yes. In all these things, every single one, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. We're not conquerors on our own. We're not conquerors in ourselves. Not conquerors because of anything we have done. But conquerors through him who has gained the victory, who has overcome the world, who has swallowed up death in victory. The victorious conqueror in all these things. You know, it's these two words again in me. We are conquerors and more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These times of tribulation, they are certain, and they are with a purpose, and they are sent in love. And in a very little measure, it is to walk in the way that the Lord himself has trodden here on this earth. He shall have tribulation. You know this word, in the world ye shall have tribulation. We might say it's sandwiched between two precious truths. In me ye might have peace, and I have overcome the world. And the Lord says to his disciples, yes, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Don't be overly cast down. Don't despair. Don't give up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You think of these times when the Lord says to his people, the Gospels especially, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So often when tribulation comes, we are afraid. We are fearful. We wonder what it all means. We try to work it all out. We try to straighten that which is crooked. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It's as though the Lord Jesus says, be of good cheer. I know what you're walking through. Leave it with me. Cast your cares upon me. Lay your burdens upon me. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Rise. He calleth thee. And hear. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In what way does the Lord Jesus speak of his overcoming the world? The world that lieth in wickedness. Those who are not the disciples of the Lord, the followers of the Lord, those who are not among those who fear his name. The Lord says, I have overcome them. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the Satan himself, the prince of the prince of darkness. I have overcome the world. Well, firstly, in his birth and his life here on this earth, he overcame the world. Secondly, as we've touched on already, in his death, he overcame the world. And thirdly, rising again, laying the stone and the watch and the seal, Christ hath burst the gates of hell. I have overcome the world because he came into this world. Though despised and rejected of men, though a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, he overcame the world as he lived a life that no other had ever lived. A spotless, perfect life. A life that we could not live ourselves. A life completely without sin, in thought or word or deed. This man hath done nothing amiss. He overcame the world as he went about doing good, working many wonderful miracles, as he behaved so wisely before other men, those who rose up against him, the scribes and the Pharisees, those who tried to catch him out, those who tried to speak against him, and yet how he that confounded them time after time, he overcame them by his own power, as verily God and verily man, I have overcome the world. How many times we read those who came to him to catch him out, and they went away. They could not ask him any more questions. They could not say anything else. They were overcome. I have overcome the world. And you think of it as the Lord Jesus stood that time when his suffering was to come. It is actually in the later on in chapter 18. He went over into the garden, and there the Lord Jesus was betrayed. Whom seek ye? Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them. I have told you that I am here. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Peter thought he would try to help out. The Lord Jesus says to him, put thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He overcame the world. He could have called many legions of angels for his defence. He overcame the world. There was a baptism to be baptised with, and how was he straight until it was accomplished? They took Jesus and bound him in this, in being led away. He overcame the world. How willing it was that Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live. They led him away. They led him to the high priest, and how he stands before them. The officers, and how with all those many questions he answered them nothing. He overcame the world, and how he spoke to Pilate in the judgment hall, art thou the king of the Jews, says Pilate. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He overcame the world, as he had upon him that crown of thorns put upon his head, the purple robe, and went forth. Hail, King of the Jews. He overcame the world. Crucify him. Crucify him. Who will you that I crucify, this man or Barabbas? They cried, release unto us Barabbas. And how before Pilate? Pilate was afraid. Jesus gave Pilate no answer when Pilate said, whence art thou? Pilate said, I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee. What does Jesus say? Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. He overcame the world. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. I, says Jesus, have overcome the world. And there in John chapter 19 we have what I think is one of the saddest verses in the whole of Scripture. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Led him away to be crucified. Led as a lamb to her slaughter, As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I have overcome the world. We have, if I could just turn to it, the words of how the Lord Jesus overcomes by his own blood. We have in Revelation chapter 12, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And this is it, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. As the Lord Jesus overcame the world, lay down his life, shed his own heart's blood, that his people might overcome through him. Do we have it? How his people weaken themselves. I think we have it in 1 John. How they overcome through him. 1 John chapter 4 and 5. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. Overcome what? The spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These words again, so similar. In you, Christ, the hope of glory, he that is in the world. The devil and his angels, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them, that we are of God. Well, is it so of us? We are of God. Is it our hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory, he that is, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth. Not us. In chapter 5, in 1 John. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But who is he that overcometh the world? Who is he? Well, we are told in the same verse, that he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of us could that word speak of this evening? He, she, that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of us could testify as the eunuch did, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are those who overcome the world. Not in their own strength, not in their own wisdom, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So it is. The righteousness of Christ imputed to each of the Lord's people. No hope in themselves, no confidence in the flesh, but in me you shall have peace. In me you shall overcome, because, says the Lord, I myself, I have overcome the world. And then in me, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the third day, rising again, the first fruits of them that slept. My mind goes to those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There we have the necessity of the resurrection of the body and the glorious truth of the resurrection of Christ. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The last enemy that shall be destroyed. It is death. It's an enemy that has to be overcome. And try as we might, you and I cannot overcome that enemy, nor any other. The last enemy that shall be destroyed, how could it be overcome? It's in Christ Jesus. That is how the victory is gained. Paul, there, writing to the Corinthians of thee, body sown in dishonour, raised in honour, the body rising again, that last time, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the last trump for thee, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's all in Christ Jesus, as he has overcome the world. So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Wherefrom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have overcome the world. So we have these glorious truths in the Word of God of how he has overcome the world in his life and death and resurrection. Now ascended into heaven itself, there to intercede for his beloved people, those who pass through the times of tribulation. They shall find in him, in me, is thine help. These things have I spoken, unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, may we know these things for ourselves, may we know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We'll leave it there. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 769. Hymn 769, to the tune Lord 677. Jesus, o'er the billows steer me, be my pilot in each storm. Hold me fast and keep me near thee, for thou knowest I'm but a worm. What concerns me, by thy power and love perform. In the midst of tribulation, oft we cast a wishful eye to our future habitation, and by faith the sure espy. Blessed assurance, we shall mount to dwell on high. With what raptures he'll embrace us, wipe away each falling tear, near himself forever place us, and with love our bosoms cheer. Hallelujah, we shall with the Lamb appear. Hymn 769, tune Lord 677.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with us all. Amen.